Hello and welcome to Zack Attack. We're never going to be better than this. This is episode 9, Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates from this year, 2016. Bonus episode.
Bonus episode number 3.
Third bonus episode of the year. I feel like when we catch up, we're going to run out of bonus episodes because we're going to have to wait until...
Yeah, that sucks.
For the time being, we might have another bonus episode at some point, but this is 2 weeks in a row with a Zac Efron Blu-ray. Anyway, I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe too.
And this movie is... So we both saw this in theaters, right?
Yeah, we did. Hold on. Before we start, though, we just want to shout out again.
We just talked about this, and I already forgot.
Yeah, we did. We want to know who the fuck is listening to this. At least I do. So please send us some emails if you're listening to it. And, like, you know, maybe some naked pictures if you're not a teen girl. The email is...
Do you remember what the email is? It's a pop quiz for you.
ZackAttack@cageclub.me.
Yep, you got
awesome.
It. ZackAttack@cageclub.me.
Yeah, see, I didn't remember it, but write that down. Send us some emails.
Just say who you are. No naked pictures, please.
Or lots of them, because Joey's going to read the emails, so dick pics
galore.
I am going to read the
emails. I don't even know. I don't remember what the password is, but we'll find out.
Yeah.
Cool. But yeah, so this movie, bonus episode, the last... I mean, if you've emailed us since the time you heard the Neighbors episode, we haven't gotten it yet, because we're still recording this before that episode's out.
Yeah.
So the way the time works, everything, you know, time, flat circle, et cetera, et cetera. You know, we're sort of... we're in the past, but also in the future, and emails don't exist right now, so... Thanks, maybe, or we'll see you soon.
Yeah, let us know. So you were saying that we did both see this in theaters. It's like one of the first ones we both saw in theaters when it came out, and I was really stoked for it. Yeah, I went to go see it with Rachel and another friend, and I was, like, really, really amped. There was, like, a lot of other movies. There was some movie that Zach wanted to go see at this time, and he was really butthurt that I didn't go see that. Oh, it was Suicide Squad. I didn't see Suicide Squad. Still haven't seen Suicide Squad. And he was really mad that I went to go see this in theaters over going to see Suicide Squad with him. Yeah, whatever. Zac Efron.
You made the right decision.
Yeah.
You made the right decision.
Really? That's what everybody else seemed to say, yeah.
This movie's written by the guys who did the Neighbors movies.
Yeah, you can tell. It feels like it, right? It feels a little bit neighbory.
Lots of movie references.
Yeah, which I love. I love all the movie they had, like, I mean, those guys are just funny. They, like, use a lot of pop culture references, which I really like in a movie because, like, that's... plays in my sense of humor.
Lots of scenes where the actors are just sort of riffing with each other that we talk about every time, that they're just sort of, especially in the outtakes over the closing credits, we have Adam Devine talking about what Jeannie's face looks like, and he just keeps listing things. I feel like that could probably went on for a while.
Yeah. This is the complete, like, 180 of the outtakes in That Awkward Moment. They were just, like, totally bland and very forced. Where, like, you know, in these ones, you had Adam Devine just making them hilarious. Like, those were all him just killing it. And Ari Plaza, too. She was really funny in her outtakes and her just, you know, just riffing. And it was fun, yeah.
I think what's a landmark about this episode for us is that's the first movie... set in modern day that's based on a true story.
Yeah, but didn't we talk about this? Is this actually based on a true story? I think this
is based on a true story.
But,
so there's Mike and Dave Stengel, who placed Craigslist ad in 2013, but it was for their cousin's wedding, not their sister. This, I think, was in Saratoga Springs, New York. Their ideal date's, quote, attractive. Like, everything, basically everything I'm saying is going to be a quote. So
okay, go
these
ahead.
Are all their words,
hear
not mine.
Yeah.
Attractive, or our aunts will judge you, but not too attractive, or one of our uncles might grope you.
This
easygoing, as we'll probably make up flattering lies about you on the spot, and preferably sisters, but we'll take friends or even enemies. They also need to own their own dresses because we don't have any. And then they wrote, we're both in our 20s, single, dashingly tall, Anglo-Saxon, respectfully athletic, love to party, completely house-trained, relaxed, passionate, smell great, have cool hair, clean up nice, boast great tie collections, will promise to shave, love our mother, have seen Love Actually several times, controversial, provocative, short-sighted with a big-picture mentality, raw, emotional, sensitive, but still bad boys.
That's
they
awesome.
They got 6,000 responses.
I didn't know that this was, like, a real fucking thing. That's awesome. I really thought that it was going to be, like, two dudes that, like, were working on the movie were like, this is really hilarious and something we would do. I didn't know that it was two dudes actually fucking did this. That's awesome.
In the movie, Zeff and Adam Devine go on the Wendy Williams show. In real life, they went on the Today show.
Oh, damn.
They got 6,000 responses. Not only do they get a wedding, or dates to the wedding, but they got a 7-figure book deal.
Oh.
And they got this... They got
a 7-figure book deal?
Mm-hmm. and they got paid to basically sell their life story to the studio that made this movie, and so they got paid for this too. They're apparently in the movie for like 1 second.
Where?
Like, I think let me see here. I have it written down. The book is called Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates and 1,000 Cocktails.
Okay.
The twins, or the brothers, they made a cameo during the scene when Cousin Terry offers them in the middle of a sandwich between the two.
Yes,
and
yes, yes, it's them? Oh, that's yeah, them. I totally, yeah, okay, I remember that scene. Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, cool. Yeah, good for those dudes, dude. Get paid. Like they.
I didn't read anything about whether or not they actually continue relationships with these girls.
I doubt it.
But, you know, it's they made their life, you know, I mean, basically, you have one thing go viral and you're sort of set for a while, so good for them.
Yeah, I know, dude. Fucking where's our Zack Attack payoffs? Jesus.
As you've said in past episodes, like, the Zaff just, like, cash those checks, like, however you can make it, just make that money.
That's what I'm always saying, man. Cash the checks, that's it.
This is a weird movie in that it's sort of a culmination of a lot of different things that we've been talking about. Like, it almost feels like this should be the last Zack Attack we do, because so many things that we've talked about come up in this movie.
Like what? What are you
so
thinking about?
So many actors are back in this movie.
Yeah, that's true, too. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the actors first. Adam Devine, if you remember, was in the first Neighbors.
No, I don't remember.
There's that. I didn't remember either. I had to look it up. But there's that one flashback where Teddy Zeff is talking about the history of the fraternity.
Oh yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
There's
like
the one where like the workaholics invented beer pong.
Yes, yes.
And
now
so
I do remember
that.
This, yeah.
Aubrey Plaza is back from Bad Grandpa.
Yes, which is awesome.
Sam Richardson, the guy getting married to Jeannie.
He was just in Neighbors
beard.
Too. Yeah.
He was just Neighbors too. Apparently, his character name in both movies is Eric.
Oh, he just looks like an Eric, maybe.
And the same guys wrote both movies, so I wonder, I mean, it can't be the same character, the same guy, unless one of those two marriages didn't work out.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Because he's married with a kid in Neighbors 2, and he is about to be married and seems like fully in love with Jeannie in this one.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. There's other people, I think, who were in multiple movies, but I might be mistaken. There were like three. They were like background guys, like
yeah.
Zeff's personal trainer and his body double and some other guy were in both movies, but that's not really worth
yeah,
noting.
Not worth. Yeah, not worth talking about.
But there's, I mean, it just seems like, I mean, sort of the things that we were talking about earlier, like the movie references, the riffs. I feel like this is sort of, I don't think this is as good of a movie as either of the Neighbors movies. I think it's really funny because it's filled with funny people. I think with the wrong casting, I think it's really would be sort of painfully unfunny.
Yeah, I disagree. I really like this better than Neighbors 2, to be honest. This was like
the story? Like
yeah,
everything
about it, man. I liked it. It was such a good summer turn your brain off comedy. I really liked it. The thing was is it had like a lot of, to me, had like a lot of dumb and dumberness to it, but at the same time the writing was good enough that the one-liners carried the movie a lot for me. So like all the pop culture references and stuff like that were really, really awesome. So yeah, I like this better than Neighbors 2. We just watched them, like, you know, a week apart or whatever, so...
Yep.
Yeah, I like this. I definitely like this one better.
What's interesting about this, and I was thinking a lot, because we just recorded that Neighbors 2 episode, and I'm editing it currently,
yeah.
And they both came out this year, and I'm sort of comparing the two in my head, and a lot of the criticisms we sort of had of Neighbors 2 in terms of Zeff's roles and about how he seems to be sort of playing the same guy in all these movies...
He's exactly the same guy here.
Well, it turns out that to sort of be a little different, I mean, he is still pretty similar, but to be a little different, you just need to cast someone who's even bigger, like an even bigger idiot.
Yeah. You made him the smart one in this one by casting Adam Devine being the really dumb one in this one. Yeah, like...
Because the whole thing, like, even from the name of the movie to the way that people talk to them to the way that the parents address them and just sort of the way that they talk to them together and then separately, like, you can tell that Zeff sort of has his head on his shoulders and is ambitious, but is dragged down by Adam.
Yeah.
Mike is Zeff?
No, Dave is Zeff.
Zeff is Dave, okay.
Yeah, yes. That's what I said.
Yes, you were right. So, it seems like Dave has his head on his shoulders, but Mike doesn't know what he wants to do, and just sort of like this, like, screw up. It's a little bit of a different role. I mean, he's sort of, I guess, kind of like, I mean, this is sort of, I guess, close to his Bad Grandpa role, right? Like, he's a lawyer, he's, like, respectable.
No, I don't think it's that close. No. It's much more.
But it's the same, like, it's like the dichotomy or whatever, the split between a screw up, but he's also sort of together.
Okay, yeah.
More so than, like, Adam Devine.
Yeah, for sure. Adam Devine is just a giant child throughout the whole movie, and he plays a child so well, it makes me really happy. Like, his word choice is so perfect comedically for the movie. Like, when there's one point when he's like, yeah, we ruined it because we got into fights, and just, like, the way he says it is just so childish and perfect. Like, it nails it.
Yeah, I mean, he's really good in this movie, and he sort of finds his perfect pairing in Aubrey Plaza, right? Like, they're both big idiots, and they work out well together.
Yeah,
and Kendrick are sort of, you know, more sensitive and a little bit, you know, they are able to connect on a little bit of a deeper level.
Yeah, I need to watch, like, more interviews with Aubrey Plaza. She's super perplexing to me. Like, one, I think she's super attractive. And two, right. I have a feeling, like, she's fucking crazy. Like, she cannot play all these characters. And she's either, like, the most fun chick in real life ever, are just completely insane.
So apparently I read that she and Anna Kendrick are best friends in real life, and this is like the third movie they've done together.
Oh.
They were in Life After Beth together, and I think they were in maybe Scott Pilgrim, is that right? Hold on. They were in Life After Beth, yeah, in Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, cool.
So this is their third movie together.
Nice.
I mean, Aubrey Plaza is really interesting, I think. I don't know, it's really hard to tell how much of this is a character and how much of this is actually
right?
her.
That's what I mean, like, it's very believable, yeah.
Because, like, she's been on Conan a bunch, and she's always, like, so weird on Conan. Like, she's the same sort of, like, distant, distrustful, sarcastic person.
Yeah, and she's April from, what, from Parks and Rec?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she's weird there.
But she also, in real life, plays on the Pistol Shrimps basketball team in the Los Angeles Women's Rec League. Well, actually, I mean, I guess she tore her ACL or something, and so maybe she might not play again. But, I mean, she talked about that on Conan or on Fallon or something. I think she's a normal girl who just, like, plays, like, psychopaths. Like, I don't know. It's really genuinely hard to tell.
No, but it's like, there's something deeper, there's a deeper weirdness in her, and I want to know what it is. Like, just for my own personal benefit, I just want to find out, like, what the fuck is wrong with this girl. Like, in an awesome way. No, I mean, like, I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with her, but at the same time, like, she's weird, man, and I dig it, so, yeah.
I wonder what would be more shocking if that she turned out to be sort of,
like,
I think
super
I
vanilla.
I wouldn't be shocked if she was normal, yeah, if she was boring, or if Anna Kendrick turned out, because she always plays, like, these sweethearts and everything, pretty much, like, these innocent, just because she's got a very innocent look, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I wonder if she turned out to be this, like, manipulative,
like, backstabbing,
evil, spiteful person.
Yeah, this is way too deep into, like how can we make these two chicks terrible people? But yeah, I'm curious too. I would like to just, like, chill with them, hang out, and see what they're about. I think that would be fun. They'd be amusing nonetheless. You know, like, I can't imagine they're like boring to be with. So
I mean, they're both actresses that if they're in a movie, I mean, it's the benefit of, like, the movies that they're in are almost entirely always movies that I want to see anyway.
Yeah.
But if they're in a movie, I'm going to see that movie even if it's not on my radar just because they're in it. I mean, sort of everybody in this movie to some extent or another. Like, I'll see Zeff movies, obviously, because of this.
Yeah.
Adam Devine is sort of whatever, but Aubrey Plaza...
No, I like Adam Devine. Like, I really dig Workaholics. I think he's funny. His cameos in movies are hilarious. Like, he's a good replacement of Dumb and Dumber comedians right now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we don't have a lot of stupid comedians that'll just do dumb shit, say dumb shit. Like, he's perfect at that. I don't think there's anybody else out there right now that's, like, this age that does that.
That's fair.
Yeah.
They were also... This is a reunion for him and Anna Kendrick, because they were in the Pitch Perfect movies together. And so at the end of the movie, when they have that big musical number, I mean, we still haven't really gotten to Zeff's core singing and dancing movies, but he's danced and sung in a bunch of movies already.
Again, they always give him a fucking... first scene, what do we have in the very first intro? A shirt open Zeff, and, like, you know, some masculine Roman Greco poses, you know, he has this, like, long arrow pose type situation going on, and then we always get a fucking sing-along Zeff scene, which I like. He does a good voice. I don't know if they, like, auto-tune it or whatever, but I'm assuming that he can probably sing, considering he was in all these fucking High School Musicals.
He can probably sing. We have Anna Kendrick and Adam Devine from the Pitch Perfect movies. They can sing. I don't know if Aubrey Plaza can sing, but, I mean, there's so much going on at the end there that it doesn't really matter. But you didn't actually talk about, like, the first scene where they're at the bar with Marc Maron as the bartender.
Yes, this is
Zeff
so good.
And Zeff is the Australian character.
Yes. Hey, so this takes us back to... What was the movie that we watched with Matthew McConaughey?
The Paperboy.
The Paperboy. This takes me back to The Paperboy when you guys were like, oh, I'm really surprised he didn't do an accent. In this movie, he does a bunch of accents, and they're all really bad.
But that's the point, I think.
I don't know if that's the point or if I think that he's just really bad at accents.
The Australian one is definitely, like, because the Australian thing, I think the point, like, he's not trying to do a bad accent, but the whole point of the scene is that, like, these are two idiot brothers who were they basically like, they're in there every 3 weeks trying to sell the same guy the same stuff
with different and this sticks, is just like their latest like shtick to sell them like some tequila.
Now what I'm not sure about, I think, is Liam Neeson's a little bit better, but I think that he gets the benefit of the doubt in that scene the same way that the girls get the benefit of the doubt, because these are all beautiful people, and like they're both saying, like, both the girls are saying crazy insane things, and the guys are like, oh no, that checks out, just because like they're both beautiful. It's just like it's like it doesn't matter what you're saying.
We're
like,
hedging,
you know,
we're hedging the funds. You got to hedge them, you know,
with
stocks, bonds, stocks, bonds, Bernie Mac, you know, normal stuff.
They know that what she's saying doesn't add up, and they're like, it just they're just sort of babbling. I mean, later we find out that Adam Devine and Aubrey Plaza both use words that they don't understand, like assuage me that coffee, or like you know, that cheese is so goat or whatever. So maybe they don't, maybe he doesn't know, but it feels like Zeph should know.
I wish Aubrey Plaza would have had a better one than that. I mean, like, of all the things that they could have come up with, like the assuage one was really good, but the goat one, I was like, come on, that was like an outtake that they should have let be an outtake and like given her, like let her keep going until she found a better one. She must have like not been on right there or something.
But I feel like the same way that they give them the benefit of the doubt, like Anna Kendrick is like, oh, because I mean, the same thing later, like, and we'll talk about it in a little bit, but like when she describes him, like when they're at that hotel, when they get to the hotel in Hawaii, Aubrey Plaza is like, oh, I'm not going to touch Mike at all. Like, you know, he's going to think that I'm going to, but like, whatever. And then Anna Kendrick's like, oh, no, I'm going to touch Dave. I'm going to touch Dave a lot. It's just the same thing, like, oh, he's so beautiful. We're just going to, like, do everything.
I love that every fucking Zeph movie we've seen, we get, like, a reference to Zeph being beautiful, like, from many characters throughout the movie. Like, when they first show him, like, and you see the email, every girl's like, I want the one on the right, you know? Like, it's just, like, it's so perfect.
One of those girls in real life is Adam Devine's girlfriend. So she was in the movie saying that she wants the one on the right.
Oh, nice! That's an awesome play, man. Man, if I was a movie star, I would convince Rachel to do things like that. That's really funny to me.
But yeah, like when they're at the bar and he's doing his Liam Neeson impression for her, I don't think it's terrible, but she's also like, oh my god, you're so good, because like, how can someone this attractive be good at anything other than looking good?
Because his like fucking the liquor cartoon ones are pretty bad too. Like, I don't know if he was doing bad accents for the scenes or if he's naturally bad at accents. And they let him do accents.
I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, maybe we have to see a movie with one of his accents. But he hasn't. He's never had an accent, which leads me to believe that maybe he's pretty bad at accents.
The way that I would defend the liquor thing is that they're all sort of caricatures, so it's not supposed to be like some like nuanced accent. You know what I mean? It's sort of like a cliche, over the top.
Yeah.
Really bad. No, I'm not really trying to defend him. I'm just sort of trying to come to some reason why it might be bad. I don't know.
Yeah, neither do I. We'll figure it out. Maybe one day we'll get a nice, you know, Australian Zeph accent full time for the whole movie, and it'll be awesome.
Another reason this is sort of a culmination of a lot of the Zach attacks we've been talking about is that the first movie we did, We Are Your Friends, I mean, the opening credits, where it's basically just Party USA, it seems like they are Cole Carter. It seems like he's DJ Cole Carter, like they're just like the life of the party, they know how to get everything going, and then we find out a couple minutes later that like,
they
all those things that they stitched together
up
are just surrounded by the worst disasters in party history.
I love it.
But you sort of get the sense that like, they are kind of like from that world of We Are Your Friends, where just like everything goes well, and then you realize, oh, that's not necessarily actually the case.
This is just classic Zeph, man. He's very beautiful, fucks everything up, but he's still lovable at the end. That sums him up right there, man.
We're not party ruiners, we're party creators.
I want to be known as a party creator. That's a great way to be known. What are you? I'm the party creator.
Oh, another thing.
Go ahead.
In that same vein, is that at the end of Neighbors 2, Teddy becomes a gay wedding planner. At the end of this movie, he basically plans a straight wedding.
Yeah, we get a lot of the same... Maybe it's like, you know, like the Tarantino theories with like Pulp Fiction and all the characters are interrelated. Maybe every Zeph movie, he's interrelated with another Zeph.
So we had this idea while we were doing Cage Club. And if you like Nicolas Cage, I'm not sure who likes Zac Efron and Nicolas Cage aside from me, but if you like Nicolas Cage, Mike, who's been on the Paperboy and Parkland episodes, he and I watched every Nicolas Cage movie and podcasted about those. When we were watching all those, we would find Cage connections, which are basically what we're talking about here, where it's sort of similarities between movies. But we also have this dream that we haven't done yet of writing like a movie script that sort of weaves together all of the different things that he's done.
Like sexy fan fiction? Like sexual fan fiction?
Yeah, exactly. but about Nicolas Cage. Yeah. It's not really too sexy.
Yeah.
But I hear we could. I think it's much more easy to weave all these Zeph movies together because, as we've been talking
about, it would be very sexy. This would be very sexy fan fiction.
But, like, all of his characters are basically sort of the same. They're just a little bit different. Like, they all just have, like, a slightly different job that also lets him party.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I wonder how long you can ride this out for. We talked about it before, but, like, man, he's, like, I guess maybe not, man. He looks very young still, so I think he can ride this out for a couple more years. I wonder if he's going to get bored with playing, like, fuck-up party boy, you know? He'll get fat or something.
I would imagine so.
Yeah, it has to be fun, though. These comedies have to be fun, like, hanging out with these chicks. I wonder if he banged Aubrey Plaza.
I don't know.
I think it could have happened. It could have happened. We got Dirty Grandpa. We got this now. Yeah. Think so.
This movie also has a lot of other really funny cameos. Aside from Mark Maron, they have Jake Johnson from New Girl as the manager at the bar where Anna Kendrick and Aubrey Plaza get fired from. Kumail.
There's a lot of Silicon Valley crossover here. Well, at least two.
Yeah, Cousin Terry.
Cousin Terry is the chick from Silicon Valley, and Kumail is fucking hilarious. I love this dude. I really want to go see him do stand-up. He cracks
me up. TJ Miller, who
was in it?
On Silicon Valley. No, he was okay. Off the part and turned it down to do Deadpool, which is probably the right decision.
Yeah, probably. Do you know what his part would have been?
No, I didn't say that.
Oh, damn.
I'm guessing, I wonder, so I'm, what would he have been? He would have been, I'm trying to figure, because, like, there's not a lot of people in this movie that are his age.
Yeah, he would have been, like, a cousin or something. Maybe they would have had, like the cousin from the other Zeph movie with it. Also, this Zeph movie is about a wedding, and Dirty Grandpa was about a wedding, and the other one was about a wedding, too. Fuck, they're all about weddings, too.
What was the other one about the wedding?
Neighbors. The gay wedding in Neighbors, too.
Oh, right. Yeah. So that's 3 out of 8 movies that have weddings?
Yeah, 3 out of 8 3 out of 8 Zeph movies are wedding approved.
We have Mary Holland as Becky, the sort of neurotic...
Yeah, who is this chick? Who is she?
She's from a sketch group, Wild Horses, she's sort of Comedy Bang Bang adjacent.
Okay.
I don't know that you would know her from... I don't know that most people would know her from anything.
Okay.
But she's in a sketch group with a couple other girls that you probably also wouldn't know.
Okay.
They're really funny. She plays the neurotic Maid of Honor,
yeah.
I guess, right?
Bridesmaid, Maid of Honor, yeah.
We have Lavelle Crawford, Huel from Breaking Bad, Huel's Rules.
Oh, I forgot it was Huel. Oh my god, I was recognizing him and I forgot what it was. Yeah, he is Huel from Breaking Bad. Awesome.
And I think the only other one that I remember is the dad is Steven Root, who's Milton from Office Space.
Is he? Oh, yeah. Without the glasses, it threw me off. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Definitely.
I don't know the mom. The mom is Stephanie Farasi, Farisee. I don't know who she is.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know her either. But she kind of seemed, like, familiar.
She's been in movies. I mean, nothing that we've done. She's in a lot of TV stuff. I mean, she doesn't really have a lot to do. She's just sort of there while Steven Root's doing things, so...
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
And then the genie is Sugar Lynn Beard.
Who is this chick? Does her voice really sound like that?
Yeah, so did you see Sausage Party or no?
Yeah.
So she was Baby Carrot, and she was Cookies. So do you remember in the trailer, especially for Sausage Party?
Yeah.
When, like, the carrots are rolling, they're getting, like, she's that voice. So I think that is really her voice.
Fuck, that's annoying, dude. I couldn't take that
not
for
great
very long. No,
but she's been in a bunch of stuff. She was in,
she's cute, she's really cute, she just, like, that voice goes right through me.
She's like 6 years older than them and she's playing their younger sister.
I mean, she looks it, she looks young, so I would take it.
Yep,
that could easily have worked.
Oh, and another one is Eugene Codero is the hotel manager who agrees to buy all the alcohol wholesale from Adam Devine at the end. Like, he doesn't really have a funny part, but he's a very funny actor, UCB and stuff like that, and I think also maybe SNL.
Cool.
Was he ever on SNL? No, maybe
I don't think so. I didn't recognize him.
So yeah, so that's all the cameos. I mean, this movie, we were talking after we recorded the last episode about how recording these Zach Attacks about comedies is tough because there's really this, like,
all I want to do is go through the jokes. Yeah, man.
To talk about the jokes, and, like, it's not funny. It's entertaining for us to recite them, but, like, to you, the listener, whoever you are, email zachattack@cageclub.me. I can't imagine that does anything for
you. We can't really walk through story. I think the story was interesting, like we said, it's based on a true story, but yeah, like, a lot of the one-liners, like, that was some of the best parts of the movie for me. Like, I like these, like, stupid little jokes. You can see that I think that Adam Devine really carried this, though. His, like, spitballing is really what we see a lot of in the movie. For example, when he's, like, when he comes down and he makes Zeph, like, and he draws the line in the sand and he's like, did you just bring me down? down here to draw the line in the sand. He's like, yeah, I'm a visual learner. But then he gets to the part where he's like, Mom, giving Dad a push pop. And he's like, what's a push pop? And you can see him, like, yeah, trying to think of what this, like, what the fuck he's gonna say it is. And then, like, he's like, when you shove your fist right up his ass, two fists, pushing the pop. And then, like that's hilarious to me. I think you can actually see Zeph, like, start to laugh in that one, too.
Well, that reminds me of Horrible Bosses, where at the end of the first one, I think it might have even been in the outtakes, or I don't remember, but I think Jason Sudeikis says, I'm going to bend her over a barrel and show her the 50 states. And then, like, that didn't mean anything. Like, he just said it, I think. I don't know if the actor said it or
yeah,
the script. And then in Horrible Bosses 2, there's, like, a callback to that. And, like, he even, like, winks at the camera. He's like, now it's a thing. Because, like, the movie basically... So, like, I'm sure that, like, there's actually... Like, if the writers or if Adam Devine made up what a push-pop was, like, people have done it, which I don't even want to...
This is
your fist up there.
I'll send you some links. I'll send you some links. That's the best way to end that joke, too. Like, I'll send you some links to it. That's really funny. Yeah. So I think that a lot of the, like, the good comedy comes from, I think that Adam Devine and Aubrey Plaza both, as we can tell from the outtakes, that they were carrying the movie comedically. I think that they were, saying a lot of the really funny shit. Because some of it hits kind of off for me. But it's, like, it hits off, but it seems real enough that they took it for what they were just, like, improvising, and they didn't retake it. Like, you know, just, like, some of the joke deliveries and stuff like that seemed, like, a hair off that, like, I would have polished them up if I was, like, directing the movie. Like, oh, you know, say it again this way. Like, you know, they just, like, emphasize swear words really weird sometimes. Like, their emphases are weird. To me, it's a sign that they were just, like, going back and forth, and then they, like, hit this, and they're like, cool, that's really funny, go, and just cut it.
I think you're definitely right about them carrying the movie comedically, but I don't think that, like... It's not like Zach and Anna Kendrick are not funny.
No, they
by
are.
Accident. Like it's sort of.
But
a,
they seem
purpose.
More written funny. Like they seem like more like they had lines and that they're delivering the jokes as opposed to like organically coming up with funny shit in the moment.
Well, what's also good about it is that we were talking that you always talk about how Zeph has like this really good way about him that like he's able to take all these jokes about his looks, you know,
yeah,
and about basically you know fielding the same jokes or the same comments movie after movie after movie. Here, like, Adam Devine is sort of, like, he's not, like, an unattractive dude. Like, he's just, you know, next to Zeph, nobody's gonna look good.
Yeah.
But I like that, you know, Aubrey Plaza says about him that he looks like the Funhouse version of a better-looking dude, but he's just that dude. I'm not touching him all weekend.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, you're getting paid to be chewed out by, like, this hot girl about how you're not hot enough for her. Like, it's just, like, a weird, like, and he's, like, totally okay with it. Like, he just knows.
No, yeah, like, I mean, as a comedian, if I was Adam Devine and I was in a movie with Zeph, as much as they're gonna make fun of Zeph for being beautiful, I would really be okay with taking all the, like, you're the ugly dude jokes. You know what I mean? Like, you have to accept that. Like, in a comedy like this, you're gonna be, like, second person. You know? Like, nobody's gonna look at you and be like, oh, yeah, he's kinda cute, too. Like, no matter who it is, like you said, like, you're up against Zeph, so.
But it's not gonna stop Anna Kendrick from saying that she likes Zeph because he's got a kind soul, and Aubrey Plaza says, yeah, and he's also super hot. She's like, yeah, he's hot as balls. Just like yeah, like I'm trying to be sort of deep with him, but also like,
yeah,
goddamn.
Yeah, he's really hot, yeah.
I think that this is maybe the longest we've had to wait, quote-unquote wait, for him to get shirtless. Like, I looked, it was 75 minutes in, I think, before...
No, because that first intro, he's, like, half shirtless, but he's not full shirtless, yeah.
Are you talking about the intro, like, the opening credits, like, the slow-mo, like, the montage?
Yeah, yeah, he has an open shirt part of that one.
Because, like, at the end, when, like, Anna Kendrick is naked behind the horse, and she's like, I gotta stop wearing this horse...
Then we get a full shirtless Zeph, yep. Yeah. Yeah, we did, but we got a shirtless Zeph, like we do in every movie. For some reason, we gotta get one, so...
I really feel like the more times he does movies like this, which are perfectly enjoyable, and like, you know, I think that they're getting a little bit better each time, or they're not getting worse at the very least, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I feel like
good.
until he stops doing these, he's never really gonna break out, like,
I know,
as long as he lives
I know.
Within this world, he's gonna have to face the same jokes and the same limitations and the same sort of whatever.
Yeah, he's gonna pigeonhole himself. I mean, he's gonna Owen Wilson really quick if he keeps doing this, you know what I mean? Like, or fucking all these other dudes, and it's gonna be, like, hard to break out and get real roles in big movies if you keep doing these comedies. Like, I hope that he can. But also, he's talented. He can sing and shit. So maybe he can get out of it better than I imagine. But, yeah, he's doing a lot of the same roles over and over again. I hope we don't, like, you know, lose him.
I feel like this, like, he's obviously comfortable working with these writers and getting, you know, because he's probably signed on to the movie because he knew that they were doing it. You know what I mean?
So yeah, it's like, for sure. I would do that too.
So he knows what he's doing, yeah. But I feel like it's too comfortable. Like, I feel like this movie could have gotten real weird with things. Like, Anna Kendrick basically has PTSD from her wedding being left at the altar, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like they could have done things. I don't know what I would have liked to have seen, but talking about Sausage Party when they have basically the beach at Normandy where where everybody, you know, all the food crashes out of the cart. It's like it's a war zone. Like,
way
I feel
to go
like
ruining Sausage Party for everyone. Thanks.
Yeah, well, it's in the trailer.
Just fucking around. Go ahead.
But I feel like, spoilers for Sausage Party, but I feel like in this movie, like, they could have done weird things with Anna Kendrick. I just feel like there's long stretches of this movie, especially when watching it for Zeph, where Zeph's just not there. And the movie itself is fun, but it's just like, oh, right, like, we're watching for him. Like, he's still a top-billed guy, but, like, between, you know, Anna Kendrick or whoever taking Jeannie and bringing her to the masseuse and then having the whole massage scene and then Adam Devine, like, walking around looking for Aubrey Plaza and, like, running into all these different people.
Yeah.
Zeph has sort of the least to do in this movie, which is weird because he's the top-billed star. I mean, I guess he's sort of, you know, he's the biggest name. And
for
he
sure.
just sort of, like, he's kind of plays the straight guy.
Yeah. For sure. Like, I'm wondering, there was a lot of things, like you're saying, that, like, I wish that there was an airplane scene in this movie. Like, how the fuck did they get to Hawaii? They would have to have gone with them. I think they could have had a lot of fun on an airplane. Like, that would have been a really good airplane, you know what I mean? Opening with the parents and stuff like that. There's a lot of things that, like, maybe I would have done differently, but I'm not a director, so, or a writer. I would have liked to have seen some other things, some other scenes. Like, you know, the scene when they're on the tree, like, they're in the, like, tree there, and they're, like, talking. And it's like, you know, they're building their relationship. Like, there's just a lot going on in this movie. There's a lot of good characters, and they give them all a lot of time. It makes it hard to follow just Zeph and Adam Devine through it.
Right.
Yeah, so
What I think the reason why they don't have a scene, like, on the plane and there's other stuff that's cut out is similar to what we talked about with Neighbors 2, I think, is that this movie really, I mean, it's only 95 minutes or 98
minutes.
Yeah,
it was nice and short.
Long. It doesn't want to waste time. Like, they're like, how can we get dates to the wedding? And, like, the first suggestion they have is the internet. And then Zeph goes through a couple different dating apps.
Yeah.
And then Adam Devine's like, no, we're going to do Craigslist. And that's just it. So it's not like they're messing around. Like, I'm sure in real life they tried other things that didn't work and then they went viral. Here it's just like, okay, we got to get to the jokes, get to where things are happening.
Yeah, maybe we need, like, the director's cut.
They could have added a scene on the plane or, you know, extended things or whatever. But I feel like they just don't want to slow down anything. It's just, not that they're necessarily always getting to the jokes, but, like, getting to the places where the jokes are going to happen. Like, basically, the sooner we can get to Hawaii, the better we can get to, like, you know, the better the movie's going
to
be.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe that's exactly what it was. It was like they needed to get them to Hawaii really quick to continue on with, like, the jokes about the wedding and not cut the wedding to be, like, a really short part of the movie. It was probably for the best. It was really, really fast like that. It just jumped joke to joke to joke, just, like, keep transferring to keep the mood flowing, which actually is one of the reasons why I liked it. So I don't know why I'm bitching about, like, I wish there was other scenes, but, like, I liked it because it was consistently funny throughout the movie. There wasn't a lot of downtime, and as soon as they had, like, any, like, serious emotional parts of the movie, they instantly cut to jokes again, which is the kind of comedies that I like.
Yeah, I feel like there's, I don't know if there's really character development, because, I mean, the only person, the only people, like Adam Devine and Aubrey Plaza don't change at all.
No.
Zeph sort of just, basically, we don't see him do it, but he quits his job to become an artist. Anna Kendrick gets over her ex, but that's sort of it. Like, this movie is not really about, like, in Neighbors, like, I feel like we really see Teddy grow up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we see him go from this frat guy to something more, and, you know, even if at the end of the first movie, something more is just, like, holding a job and being relatively productive.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the second movie, he's got an actual, like, career. And so we see, like, those movies are more, that's why I like those more, because there's more of, like, a journey, there's more depth to the characters. Here, it's just, like, oh, here's a bunch of idiots and attractive people on the beach in Hawaii, and it's really, really fun and really, really funny, but there's just not really depth to it.
Yeah, but this was, like, the whole, I mean, damn, I guess even, I was gonna compare it to Dumb and Dumber again, but, like, I guess even in Dumb and Dumber, we get kind of, like, a more of a change than this. Yeah, because it's, like, it's such a short time frame, maybe that's what it was. They regret it at the end, you know, like, they, like, come in and try to, like, you know, bring the wedding back together and put the wedding on, so, like, you kind of see some growth, like, they realize that they don't have to fuck up everything, and they can kind of still have their moment, but at the same time, like, do something good.
Well, I don't know if that's really growth as much as the fact that they're they're just not monsters. Like, you have to be a monster to ruin the wedding and then not try to save it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think they necessarily, like, grew and became better people. I think they're just like, oh, we can't just ruin this girl's weekend and her life.
Our sisters.
Because... Our sister, or just this girl, but because I gave her MDMA, like some of them are idiots, and some of them, the two girls don't know her at all, like they just met her, but they're not terrible people, which is why they sort of, so I don't know that that's necessarily growth, but I guess I can sort of see where you're coming from with that.
Yeah, I have a lot of notes on this movie, but most of them, like we said, are just jokes, like, they're just, like, funny jokes about the scenes that were going on. I don't know really what to say about that.
Let me look at what Zeff's coming up, what his movies coming up are, because we're, you know, the next movie that we're doing is The Lucky One, which, okay, so here's a little bit of a game we can play.
Go ahead.
You know on IMDb, like, when you go to an actor's page or whoever's page, you can see the four things they're most known for?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
What do you think the four are for Zeff?
Neighbors. I'm going to go... Not... what is it? High School Musical is going to be one.
Okay.
Two more. I don't know. Neighbors 2 and probably one stupid one. Like, probably one of these, like, Nicholas Sparks types ones. What's the one that we always hate? Charlie St. Cloud. Go ahead.
So you got one out of four right.
Damn.
High School Musical is number two. There's only one movie of these top four that we've done already, and it's the one that we disliked the most.
Which one was it?
That Awkward Moment.
Damn, really? Is yours, like, is yours like IP chained to you or something?
No.
This
no,
is,
no,
like,
it's...
common... It's definitely...
common. So the metrics are weird, and on the podcast Doug Loves Movies, there's a new game where he plays where contestants try to guess, you know, the top four IMDb for, like, different actors. Because, like, the metrics, like, it's hard to figure out what they use. Like, I think it used to be you're sort of, like, I'm guessing that something is, like, if you're on a movie page and you click on that actor... It's sort of like adds like to a tally or something. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's sort
okay,
of like
okay. If you go from the movie
movies...
to the actor to see what they've done, yeah, it has
right.
to be something like that, or like time spent on a movie page or something weird.
But what's annoying for like not for this instance, but like for Daniel Radcliffe or Emma Watson, like three or four of their top four are like Harry Potter movies. You know what
okay.
I mean? So it's like it doesn't really help you get like because like oh, it's somebody who's been in every movie, but like I don't really know who that is. The top four for Zeff are 17 Again. Where he becomes, where I think it's Matthew Perry?
Yeah. Oh, damn, I forgot that he's in this movie. When are we getting to that? Is that this much longer ago?
It's 2009.
Where are we at in Zack Attack right now, year-wise? Not bonus.
2012.
Damn, so we got some time before...
17 Again is going to be in April.
Damn, okay, I'm really excited. Good, I didn't believe that we had this many, like, non-completely shitty ones.
We have so many movies.
Wow, okay.
So 17 Again is number one, High School Musical is number two, The Lucky One, the next movie we're doing, is number three, and then That Awkward Moment is number four.
Fuck, those are some terrible lineups.
I'm just trying to see, because we were... I don't
remember. Maybe there's, like, a lot of small children that... Like, a lot of small teen girls that creep on IMDb all the time.
The ones that we have coming up, like, I really don't know, you know, I just don't know what these movies are. Like, The Lucky One, I don't really know. I only know that Taylor Schilling's in it because I scouted it after this. Then we're doing The Lorax, where he's just a voice. Then we're doing a movie
does
called
he have,
The
like,
Lorax,
a lot of, does he have
no
a lot
idea.
Of voice in The Lorax? Is he, like, a significant character? Are we going to get, like, three Zeff lines and then...
I don't know, but I don't want to skip it because the way that it lines up now, New Year's
it's
Eve
a New Year's.
Out
yeah, I'm not
January
trying to skip
1st.
It. I'm just saying, like...
he's Ted. Is Ted the main guy?
Maybe, hopefully.
The main kid? He is... Oh, yeah, so he's the main
oh,
kid.
Oh, awesome. Cool. So we're going to get, hopefully, a lot of Zeff voicing. Maybe they're going to have, like, a shirtless cartoon version of Zeff. In the movie. That would be awesome. Little boy shirtless, just as like an homage to Zeff.
Then we have New Year's Eve, Charlie St. Cloud, the Entourage TV series. There's not really comedies. Like, all the movies that he's done like this have sort of come out in the last, like, 2 years.
Yeah, which is good. I'm like, so, I mean, these comedy ones, they're fun to watch. They're not fun to talk about for me. So, like, yeah, definitely. Like, I'm excited to see more stuff that we can, like, has some more depth for us.
Stay tuned for Zack Attack, because we got one of his big ones, apparently, according to IMDb, The Lucky One, coming up in just a couple days. I mean, this was a big month. This September was three Zeff.
Yeah, we slayed it. What were you saying? Before we started recording this, you were telling me about the fun facts, the IMDb facts about this movie.
Oh, so every time we do a movie, and I already sort of went through all those, but every time we do a movie for any of the podcasts on the Cage Club Podcast Network, I always check IMDb for the trivia. And this movie, more so than anyone that I've done, and I've looked up for these different podcasts, you know, between Cage Club and Keanu Club and this and some other stuff that we're doing, I've looked up probably like 150 movies or maybe more. This has by far the most useless trivia I've ever seen.
I wrote them all. Like, I wrote them all under different screen names. I created a whole bunch of IMDb names and I wrote them all.
The way that the IMDb trivia works is that I guess anybody can contribute something, and then it's sort of crowdsourced, like on Reddit. Like, you're able to say, like, if it's interesting to you or not, so yes or no. And so the ones at the top are the ones, like, sort of that have a lot of votes and that are the highest percentage. 82 people voted on this one, and like 80 think it's interesting. It's probably going to be number one. This movie, and I've learned sort of because like bigger movies like this, you know, the more popular the movie is, the sort of more mainstream, the more fans it has, the more trivia there is. So I usually start at the bottom. And starting from the bottom
start
here,
from the bottom, now we're
there
here.
Were like dozens, yes, exactly. There were dozens, Drake, of just facts that were not interesting to anybody. Like, literally, 1 of 8, 1 of 7, 1 of 24 people, 1 of 13 people, 2 of 16 people. And it's just
give me
like
an example. I want an
facts
example
like,
to kick one.
They're all facts like, because it's just, it's also repeat stuff, so it's like, this is the third movie that Zac Efron released this year.
Well, that's true. You have to like that.
Time. But it's not interesting.
I'm just fucking with you.
You don't like it just because it's true. You have to like it because it's interesting.
Plain true or false.
Like, learning about the real brothers who this movie's
yes,
based on.
Yes, and it, T.J. Miller almost getting a role. Yeah, those are interesting things.
There's a really good quote in here by Sugar Lynn Beard, the girl who plays Jeannie, about the experience she went through with Kumail and about how they were both naked on set. And, like, he's got, like, you know, always in Hollywood movies, you sort of have, like, this, like, pouch that goes around your junk.
Yeah.
They filmed that scene for, like, 8 hours or something.
Oh, really? Damn.
And it was a long, long time. I don't know if it was that long. It was a long, long time. By the end, like, his stuff was just, like, flopping out. And she's just like, oh, like, whatever. Like, you know, we're just, like, we're basically doing that anyway. He's like, no, no, no. Like, he's a total professional. But she said that, like, he was so, like, respectful and professional of her. And she just thought it was so weird that, like, all these times that in the movie, she's basically having, like, this long, like, hour-long orgasm.
Yeah.
She's just laughing in real life. And just, like, so, like, visually and sort of sounds like her body's shaking.
Yeah.
Not because, like, she's being turned on, but just because she's laughing.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
him, like,
that's an uncomfortable
actually
moment.
Rubbing his butt on her.
Yeah,
head.
Exactly. That has to be an uncomfortable moment. And I'm sure that it was long, and, like, they would have to be, he's like, he's a funny dude. And, yeah, also, as a male actor, I would try to be as least creepy as possible in that situation. Like, you have to, like, really try to not be creepy. You know what I mean? Like, I would
right.
be, like, as professional, yes, ma'am, sorry. You know, like, oh, excuse me. I really apologize for, you know, just, like, to make sure that it's not, like,
while I'm rubbing my butt on you.
Yeah, yeah, you know, like, you have to not creep this chick out. That's just mean.
When you're using God's beautiful lubricant
yeah.
to oil up your body.
Yeah.
Sounds a lot better in my language. Like, trivia about things like that, like her telling, like, in an interview talking about that scene or whatever, like, those are the interesting things. But finding out that, like, Aubrey Plaza and Zac Efron were in Bad Grandpa earlier this year,
that's
or
stupid.
This came
yeah,
out the
yeah,
same
yeah.
time as Tarzan.
Yeah. On that note, well, how did this movie do in the box office? Did it do good?
I can't imagine that it did well. I'm not sure. Let me see.
Yeah, take a look. Please.
Budget was $33 million.
Which is low.
Which I guess seems,
that seems low for, like, this.
Yeah, because the Neighbors, what were the Neighbors movies? They were
They were high. Higher than that, I think.
Neighbors was, oh no, Neighbors 1 was $18 million, and Neighbors 2, I want to say it was like $30 million. I think I had to look up what Neighbors 2 was. So Neighbors 1 was made for like half the amount of money for
okay.
this movie. But this made $73 million worldwide. It made $45 million in the U.S. I just don't remember there being like a huge splash about this. I saw this at an advanced screening.
Oh, yeah,
at the
Fancy
Draft
Pants,
House.
I know.
But I don't remember there being a lot of, like, social media push or anything.
No,
like
no,
you,
no. There was, like, no promo for it. I mean, there was a couple commercials, but I think that I actually saw those commercials in theaters seeing other movies, even more so than on TV. There's no real, like, hype about it. None of my friends saw it. Like, you know, besides you. Yeah, like, nobody was really, like, out to see this movie. I wonder who did go see this movie. But it was a great summer movie for me.
On the opening weekend, it opened in fourth. It opened behind Finding Dory in third,
okay.
Tarzan in second, and The Secret Life of Pets, which,
damn,
I guess
it got
that, well, that was the, yeah, so Secret Life of Pets was the first weekend for that. And so, I mean, it's a different audience, but that made $104 million, and this made $16 million, so...
Yeah, that sucks. I'm sorry for those guys. This was a funny movie. I think it should be watched. I now watched it twice. I think it's still funny. The jokes hold up to me. It was good.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
Yeah, what was the Rotten Tomatoes for it? It was low, right?
Oh, I mean, the Metacritic was like 50. Hold on, let me see here. 35?
Yeah, that's pretty low.
Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates benefits from the screwball premise and the efforts of a game cast, even if the sporadically hilarious results don't quite live up up to either. And I think that's what I was saying. I didn't read that till now, but like everybody in this movie is so funny and they're all willing to do whatever. I just feel like the actual script they're given, like I feel like a lot of it we're laughing because of who says it, not because of like what's being said.
You're right. If we replace the actors, I think that this movie would have been completely a bomb for me. Like if we wouldn't have had the people in it that are in it right now, I don't imagine I would enjoy it as much as I did.
Like, I'm laughing at things that, like, Mary Holland, like, I mean, she's just, like, a neurotic, when she, at the wedding rehearsal, when, like, she, like, smashes the glass, or just, like, talking to herself, like, if I didn't know her, like, I don't know how that would play, but because I know her, because I like her, I think that's really funny.
No, it's funny, you get that character, there always has to be, like, the, you know, like, the one pissed off, and super chatty, insane bridesmaid, like, that's a pretty typecast kind of character, but, like, yeah, I liked her. But I'm saying, like, if you get rid of Adam Devine, and you start throwing someone else in there, if Zeph's not the pretty boy, if Aubrey Plaza's not in it, if what's her name, what's the young one, like, young-looking one's name?
Anna Kendrick,
if she's not in it, I think that it would totally change the movie. Actually, Anna Kendrick is the only one for me that's replaceable. She could be switched in or out.
Well, she's also, I think this is the same thing with Zeph, like, she's just not given a whole lot to do. Like, she's kind of the only one with a backstory, and it's just sort of like, she got lost at the altar. Like, there's not really much there.
Yeah, yeah. Now that we talked about it, I feel less excited about this movie, and that's depressing.
But it's still really funny.
It was funny, yeah. I would watch it again, man. It was really funny. The jokes come across good. Like, it's good.
I mean, even though we sort of ended on a sour note, this is very funny. It's out on
Blu-ray and DVD
today. I liked
it better than Neighbors 2. I definitely did. I really enjoyed it.
So September 27th. So this is out now. So if you watched Neighbors 2 last week and you watched
this now, if you haven't watched it, give it a shot. It was good.
Although I'm really not sure who's listening to these podcasts who hasn't seen the movie and is going to go see it.
Yeah, I don't know. But if you want to tell us, email us at zackattack@cageclub.me.
Yeah. So for all things Zack Attack, you can go to cageclub.me or facebook.com/cageclub. Like us on there. Rate, review, subscribe on iTunes.
Send us emails.
Tell us you're listening.
Dick pics for Joey.
Please, okay. No pictures. I'm not opening anything with an attachment.
No, we will. I will open all the dick pics.
I'll forward. Thank you. Anyway, I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe, too.
And we'll see you next time on Zack Attack. You know we sell that liquor. Mike and Dave forever, it's a stang life. This stang life, getting rich, selling fucking liquor quick. Mike and Dave forever, it's a stang life. This stang life, I will never die. I'm a stingle bitch. Crunch picking another D from the B. Flying fucking girls to my sister's wedding at the beach. Now we in first class seats. Couldn't hold me back, JJ.